be a 2 to 3 week message here because of time today, number one. But the Forgiveness Project, we're going to talk about a great area of life. Something that we don't realize that we know it, but I don't know if you understand about the application that comes with forgiveness. I know that we know that we have a forgiving God. How many agree? How many agree that we don't deserve forgiveness? I put every hand up I have, my legs and everything. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God is faithful in forgiving. And so this is why he dropped it in our spirit, because we're in the seventh month. We're already halfway through the year. God has been great. He's going to do greater things in the year, the months that are coming. You know, what you heard today is things that he's been promising all year. We've been seeing great things come to his people. Say his people. You're his people. He loves the world, but not the whole world loves him. But I can assure you that he gives rewards to those that love him, that seek him, that are diligent to serving him. And in that, we need to come into a place, because oftentimes we don't realize we asked our God for forgiveness. We come before him, and you're going to have that opportunity. You have it every day. And in fact, you should apply that forgiveness every day and ask for that, because oftentimes, how many know we blow it? You don't realize that the Lord knows your thoughts. He saw and hears your thoughts. And we have shared with you before, if your feet could speak, what would they speak that God knows? If your mind could speak, what would they be saying? Because God hears your thoughts. See, one thing I'm going to clarify, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whoever, whatever you want to tag him as, he can't read your mind. So don't think that your mind can be read by the devil or let him whisper. The only thing he knows is what you say. You speak it, he heard it. This is why you that believe in going to the horoscope readings, or you that believe in going to the Ouija board, or you that want to go see the tarot card reader and you want to hear about your future, I can tell you their future, but they can't tell me my future. My future has already been written for me. Your future has been written for you. You have an opportunity to live eternally with the God that created us. We have an opportunity. However, we have to follow the process of that promise that God has created. And so if you're one of those that go and believe in that, those readings, they're only reading what you've spoken, and it already knows. It's called the familiar spirit, and it knows what you want to hear because you've been speaking it. And as you're speaking it, it'll apply to those that are serving not the God we serve. Because let me know, there's always an opposite. Come on, there's always an opposite. How many agree? How many know where there's good, there's evil? However, the opposite, where there's evil, there's good. I just spoke about us. There's good in us, and there's evil in us. And we got to be careful in how we apply our daily lifestyle. And so when we're looking at, I'm going to be going to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be reading out of several versions, possibly the King James Version, the Amplified Version, the New King James Version. There's so many versions coming up, we got to be careful. However, forgiveness. How many know God is good at forgiving? But he also, God is good about making statements of forgiveness. And that forgiveness statement is unforgiveness. How many know there's unforgiveness out there? How many know that you may have it without realizing it? And what it's going to do, this is why it's called the Forgiveness Project. It's because we're in a process of life right now. And we're in a time of process of elimination. We got to learn to eliminate areas of life that we don't realize it at times. Though we believe that we say how we say it and what we said. But in essence, until a time has its place, then the truth will come out and the truth will be known. And how many know that God's going to allow the truth to be known? Because The Gospel of John says it like that. You shall know the truth. No, you. Say I. See, not about somebody else. About yourself. You shall know the truth, and that truth shall set you free. Say me. Come on, because how many know we need freedom? How many know that freedom brings peace? Come on, peace. And that's all we need. And Jesus said, I come to give you peace in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. He says, I come to give you peace. Not that the world gives you. This isn't peace. This sign isn't peace. Hello, somebody. This can't do anything for you, except for those that like to play with us and the pictures and put it behind your head. So what does that mean behind the head when somebody's taking a picture? You know, today we're going to flash pictures everywhere, right? What does that mean to you? I still didn't get it. Does that mean a bunny rabbit or what? Well, I don't get it. So I don't do it. Hello? But he promises peace, not like the world gives us, but the peace that only he can provide. It's called shalom. And if you don't realize shalom, you're going to find in the 14th chapter in the reading of the Gospel of John. The 14th chapter has three identifications behind it. One is a peace that you don't understand. It's being at a place that you're not stressed out. And how many know we all stress? How many realize there is a good stress, though? And then there's an evil stress. And so with that being said, shalom also means your security. This is why he wants to give you peace, because it brings your security. How many know we're all looking for security? Hello, somebody. You know, y'all also say amen, because we all want security. I'm on Social Security. But I can't depend on that for my lifestyle. Because just give me all that I put into it all my life, and let me invest my own money. Instead of you giving me a percentage, which is not enough to pay my house payment. Hello. See, that's security. But see, I have security. I don't let that stress me out. Because I know that if God gave it to me, this is what peace does. He's going to meet my need for it. No, you didn't hear that. But it also means my protection. How many know he's my protector? Come on, shalom means three things. Peace means that you have that your mind is at ease, your heart is at ease, and then the security, you know, part now. As part as a provider, it means provision and security. And how many know we're all looking for provision? How many know that we just sang it? My God shall, Jehovah Jireh. What does it mean? My God shall meet all my needs. How Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 4, right? My God shall supply all, not your wants, because you all have wants. Come on. We heard the testimony, I want, I want, I want, I want, but that's not what God wanted. God had, and it's greater than anything of what we wanted. And I can sit here and bore you with my testimonies, but I live such a great life since he took me out of the business world. I've been out of the business world this year 25 years. I've not worked for a man for 25 years. And I don't say I work for the man, because he's greater than the man. I work for a God. And he has supplied all our needs. And he has blessed us beyond measure. Pressed down, shaken together, over running, has God blessed us. In a way that we can't believe he could have. Because when I was forced to leave my position that I didn't want to leave, knowing that it was coming. And God allows it. God allowed the time, because God had to deal with me in the last 24 years. And you know what that he had to deal with me? With what we're talking about today. Because I'm a man that forgives everybody, I thought. Until God has to deal with you. Because he can't deal with you when you're so busy, on the go. Doing this, doing that, going here, going there. When you're like that, he can't deal with you in a way he would love to. He can't speak to us. This is why it's called the Forgiveness Project this morning. And we're going to the book of Matthew's, and we're going to read on chapter 6. Because we don't understand about unforgiveness. It opens a door that you don't realize. And when that door opens, it gives a legal access. Say legal access. To your enemy. and you don't know your enemy like you think you do. You don't even want to meet this enemy of yours without God's provision, without God's assistance, because he is greater than you. Until you get the God we serve into your heart, into your life, and knowing who he really is, then that becomes that the one in me is greater than the one outside of me. But until that point, you don't want to deal with that, because he will overtake you. It's biblical. The sons of Sceva, we talked to you about it a couple weeks ago, that, you know, they were trusting, and you can trust in a God, but if God don't know you like you think you should be known, Satan knows. Satan knows if you're for God or not. Satan knows if you're hanging on to one hand of who Satan is and the other hand who God is. And forgiveness is an area that God has given us as a gateway to true freedom. Hello? It's a process. It starts with God forgiving us. Unforgiveness has to be dealt with. It has to be in a place, because if you don't understand, unforgiveness brings torment. This is why you're not at peace now. Unforgiveness also lets you recall things that you shouldn't be recalling no longer. It's a part of your life for forever until you learn to release those things. You're dreaming about them. And this is where we're going to catch you pretty soon. We're going to go there. But when the name is mentioned, or when you see something that's, or you hear something of that, what caused that unforgiveness? It's dormant until it has the opportunity to expose itself. And in this portion of what we're going to read in the book of Matthew, this is Jesus speaking himself. Because we cannot bypass forgiveness. It's needful this morning. How many agree that? In fact, we're going to read it here. It's a command from God. Say a command. We keep saying that the commandments don't exist. Yes, they do. The 10 still exist. The only one that's really changed is that Sabbath is every day, not just one day. Sabbath is daily. How many know what that means? That means I'm to live this daily, not wait till a Saturday for those in the Jewish culture or those religious cultures that they can only worship on Saturday and do that on Saturdays. Jesus canceled all that. He says, no, I'm the Sabbath. It means I'm every day. How many know we need Jesus every day? I mean, how many know him as your Savior? But it's a command. We're going to start with verse number 12, and then we're going to read on a little bit. And in the saying he was saying this, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And he goes, and lead us not onto temptation, but deliver us from the evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ah, here comes the text now. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you in your trespasses. Now, I'm going to read it in a simple form. And it's called the Easy English Bible. You know, you got it for however you want it. You want it the easy way or the hard way. King James is one of the hardest. No, it's not. The Jewish Bible is the hardest. If you ever got the Jewish Bible, it's hard. But the Easy English says it like this. He says, but if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive you. And see, that's something that we don't realize the depths of it, because we know that we receive forgiveness. And you that are in Christianity, and some of you that have been raised in Christianity, to those that weren't raised in Christianity, the forgiveness process, we understand about receiving forgiveness, but about giving forgiveness, we believe in doing that. We believe in stating that we do that. We believe that it's in us, but the action behind it is yet to be proven. And that is where God has to come in, and he has to begin a process. Because forgiveness from God must come with our willingness to forgive others. Because only God knows your heart in the depths that you don't realize. You see, if you read the scriptures, it tells you our hearts are evil. There is evil in there. You can be serving the Lord. You can be here in church. You can be walking in God. You could be preaching the gospel, singing it out loud, everywhere, being known, and still have unforgiveness in your heart without realizing it. And this is why the process has to continue, and this is why God has to really, and the church needs to get back to speaking these things because of the essence of time that we're in. Time is moving so quickly. And to keep up with it, we're at a place that, God, help us. Because forgiveness comes with an exchange, and that is unforgiveness. And I'm going to tell you that right now. We can remain stuck. And how many know what quicksand is? Unforgiveness is like quicksand. You continue to sink in it without realizing it. Quicksand, you realize it because in the out form, you're sinking in. But forgiveness, unforgiveness in the heart, you don't realize it's still there. You don't realize that what it wants to do. Because here, the Word of God is trying to tell us, look, this was Jesus speaking. This is what I'm coming to do. Is how many understand that when he spoke this, it wasn't available yet? Remember, he hadn't gone to the cross at this moment of time when he's speaking these words to his disciples and all those that were around him. It didn't apply yet. And these people didn't realize it. We are privileged that we can realize what they're listening to. They didn't have the revelation. They didn't have the mystery being revealed to them. You and I are privileged people. Unfortunately, with that privilege that we have, we're abusing it. Because we're hearing it, we've heard it, we've been told about it, we confess it, but deep down inside, it's like quicksand. We're still sinking in unforgiveness. And if not going to do this is why many are still, this is why sickness is in the church so horribly. If anybody should be healthy, it's the church. Why? Because you got the living God living in you. But unforgiveness, and it has so much torment behind it. It brings so many different types of sicknesses that we don't realize to our body. And it's amazing because this is, as you read this word, like, okay, God, you're saying this to the disciples. We study this and we study it and we study it. You've broken it down this way. You've broken it down that way. It's simple now form. But why isn't it so simple to let it go? Why is it that as human beings that we are, why are we stuck sinking in this unforgiveness? And it's a very simple answer. It's because we don't want to release it, what others have done to us, what others are doing to us. And when you start realizing that, you're at a place that you can get like this now. I'm forgiven. You know what? And then you start walking like that. I'm forgiven. I'm not perfect. God knows my heart. You know, God knows I'm trying. And all that is true. We strive. Amen. Because I'm striving every day. Hello. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to love every day. But I've learned I have to love every day. And I've learned that I must deal with what God deals within myself, that I don't have to be in this manner, because if I don't release others, how can I repent for my own mistakes? How can that be if you're not releasing what others have mistakenly, without realizing, done to you? How many know what I'm saying? So that, you see, one thing we've got to learn, we can't hold on to because that holds us captive when we don't realize what's inside of us. And this is not something that you can do on your own. It's going to have to take what God gives you, the Spirit of God, to deal with you. Because inside, you can't see. But God can see it. And as we're looking at this, you know, when we're looking at the anger, and we're looking at the pain, and we're looking at the trauma, and all that comes because Others did that to us. We didn't do it to ourselves. However, because of what others done to a blast, it can be where I will inflict it on myself. This is why we have so much suicide out there. And the reason of suicide is because the affliction of their pain that was put on them, they didn't realize that if the forgiveness that was for them, and how many know Christianity is a guilty of suicide? And you know what's wrong with suicide? What we don't want to talk about, especially if we have family members that committed suicide in our lives, we don't want to believe that hell's their home. Because we don't want to hear what the scriptures really say. That's my problem. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. That's my problem. But I found out it's a good problem. Because I'm not a people pleaser. I've learned to be a God pleaser. You see, I've learned to chase after God. And when you learn to start chasing after God, God begins to deal with you, not others. And as he deals with you, as you're chasing him, he starts speaking to you about you. And I mean, no, we don't like to hear about us. And so we start doing what we're called to do as you're chasing him. The more you are getting that with him and hearing of him, from him, you start releasing that. Then you start walking in a whole different manner. You start seeing things in a whole different outlook. Because I see Christianity today, I see so much anger in Christianity. And we're not supposed to be angry people. If anybody, we're supposed to be loving people. But I see so much division in the church, so much backbiting in the church. I see so much conflict in the church. I see so much division in the church. I said, God, you call us a church, but we can't even get along. Well, that was Rodney that said that. And the riots. Can't we just get along? I say that about the church. Why can't we get along? That's because we haven't been dealt with the truth. The truth is we got to deal with the forgiveness, yes, that God has given us. Amen. But now he wants to deal with the unforgiveness of our hearts. The anger, the pain. Hello, somebody. The trauma that somebody else inflicted me with, which now has opened the door to our tormentor. Because how many know fear is torment? How many know that? Fear is torment. And I'm not talking that you're afraid of the dark or something, because you know there's 557 types of phobias that have come that we have to be dealt with in the psychological world. With God, there's only one. It's called the spirit of fear. Which in that spirit lies unforgiveness. And when there's unforgiveness, we're going to enter a place of tormenting. And that tormenting is not going to be the will of God. It's going to be something we have chosen because we haven't learned to be dealt with that I got to let go of that pain, that trauma, that anger. And I want you to know, a lot of us come from broken homes. Amen. We come from a lot of places that even religion has done that to us. That we haven't learned how to let this go, that I could be at peace now. Because all I want is peace. I don't know if you're like me. I hope you are. But I hate drama. Oh my God. I can't escape it because everywhere we go, there's drama mama. No, it's drama papa. You always blame the woman. Hey, I've seen so much drama from guys. Come on, men. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But so I don't like it. But that only exists because of what's within that we have to be dealt with because of others' inflictions, others spoken to us, others doing what they've done to us. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to find a lot of inflictions in the church. And you know why I say the church? Because you are the church. This building gets blamed for everything, but it doesn't do a thing except house us from the rain, from the sun. Amen. air conditioning, thank the Lord, right? Heaters in winter, right? Thank God. Lights where we could see. The building does nothing to us except what it's called for. And now we must learn that this is how we should be, because we are the church. And if we're afflicted in our anger, in our pain, in our trauma of past, how can we be that out there, especially when we gather in here? And I'm gonna show you about unforgiveness, what it does to you, okay? And I'll probably close with this because of time. I'm gonna go to a 2 or 3 part series. Here's a true story. There's a pastor had a member come up to him, and that member goes said, "Pastor, I hate to tell you, and I've been through this." Most of the people that left our church tell me by text. How wonderful, right? They tell me, I say, really? You couldn't sit down with me? I mean, everything else you needed, you sat with me, right? You sat, you needed prayer, you came to see me. You needed help for whatever in life, you came to see us. If you had an issue, you came to see us. But now because something took its course, you text me and we're not coming back to the church no more. I said, God. And sometimes I say, thank you, Lord, because it's a prodigal now. You understand what I'm saying? So the pastor had to deal with this person because this person was so angry. And he was angry because other people in the church, they wouldn't talk to him. And if they did, they weren't so sociable. And he kept looking at everyone in the church and everything, how they did it in the church. And then he started watching those that where he attended in the church. He started seeing them outside of the church, how they were outside of the church. And he just got fed up because he believed that he had this right, which he does. You all have a right. Nobody has to be here, right? That he said, I had enough. But the good news, this one had enough to come and tell the pastor personally that this is my last Sunday, I'm out of here. Because your church, see, he's going to point it somewhere. But the pastor was wise enough to tell him, wait, my church, okay. The pastor was wise enough to go like this. He says, do me one favor, don't give me one more Sunday. Just one more. And then he goes to tell him, I want you to... When he showed up on that following Sunday, he got a glass of water. And he says, what I want you to do with this glass of water, do not let it spill over. Some of you know when you're walking what happens, right? It's spilling. So what he says, I want you to do throughout the whole service, I want you to walk around the church constantly. Don't worry about the people. They're going to see you be walking around. I want you to go around the whole the church constantly with this cup of water. But you can't let it spill over whatsoever. And he did it to the whole service. And after the service, he came up to the pastor and the pastor asked him, did any spill over? And the answer was no. He says, wow, how did that happen? He says, because I kept an eye on it and to make sure. He says, exactly. I want you to come to church next Sunday and keep your eyes on God, not on the people. You see? Why? Because unforgiveness has settled in, not realizing that whatever he was dealing with was within. He had pain. He had anger. He had trauma because he was afflicted by others. But God is here to deal with others as he is with us. And so as we're reading this scripture, and on the 15th verse, it says it so simple, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. That is deep. We're walking around singing, I'm forgiven. Now I got a reason for hating. Right? Now I have a reason that I can stay bitter. Now I have a reason that I can judge you. I can accuse you. I have a right to talk about you. Because I'm forgiven. And that's my reason for living. But that's not true because the word just spoke to us loudly. Say loudly. That if I receive forgiveness, that's good. But if I don't forgive others, my forgiveness is out the door. The affliction of the pain and the anger and the trauma that we see right here, we don't realize the exchange that forgiveness is here for. Forgiveness we receive, we exchange it, God, for the unforgiveness in my heart. But we don't realize that it's there until God exposes it. This morning, you know, it's a simple process, but it's the most difficult because when we are injured by people, I said by people, and I'm going to tell you, injury doesn't mean it's outside of the realm. Injury starts with family. And it filters on from outside of the family. Co-workers. People at school. Neighbors. And it goes further on. But right here, what we got to come to the place, and we're going to leave it at that. We're going to say we have to come to the place is that this passage that we just read, forgiveness, yes, it's there, absolutely. But there's a divine exchange that needs to be occurring. If you do not learn to let your unforgiveness go, and what is that? Forgiving others, your forgiveness is not running its true course. God still loves you. God is going to be there for you because he's not done with the process. We're still here with a reason. Come on. Those that went home to be wherever they were headed for as of 10 minutes ago, our belief and our hope is God, you gave them one more chance. Say one more chance. Thank God for the one more chance. Because if I didn't get that one chance, I wouldn't be here 45 years almost later. But God was gracious because I didn't know. I didn't know what I know today. But I praise the Lord, and I've learned that I got to walk in forgiveness, not just receiving forgiveness. And that will be applied next week, God willing, when we come together. Because at this time, I'm going to end the service for this, because I have a baby dedication today. We're dedicating JB today. So calling for the parents of JB, that's Jumble Jack. I said it backwards, so. Okay, I call him Jumble Jack. They call him everything now, you know what I mean? Because his name is Little Jack. You know, so as we call for the parents, you're going to be our witnesses that what these parents are going to do, they're going to dedicate their child. And what you're going to do is what you're going to see in Christianity. We don't baptize children because baptism means to immerse, to put underwater, and we're not going to be that cruel to do it to a child. But also, the child doesn't understand at this point, like what we are supposed to understand, is baptism means you're going to immerse them for the reason it's symbolic that you're going to die from the old nature and you're going to rise to the new nature. That's what true baptism is all about. Come on. Say amen. And with that, before, as we're getting the parents, right, our new baptism has arrived. It's located on the right-hand corner over there. Amen. It's, you know, we bless the Lord for the ministry that blessed us to purchase it and choose the colors and everything we chose for it. And we're going to be doing our first baptism here soon. But now we don't have to go to the pool, the lake. Nothing wrong with that. But we now have our baptism in the church. Amen. Come on. So that being said, we're going to be waiting for the parents to bring our little guy. Come on. Junior already said they're calling him. They're changing him. How many know God changes our diapers? More than we know. And you know the worst part is? We call him depends on our age. But God says, I'm changing your diaper. Because sometimes we act like children, babies. Hello.
See, that's too honest, I guess. I'm sorry. No offense, nobody.
And there's the Father.